Blog Talk Radio.
Monday evening, and this is Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildev. We are going to be doing something new on the first and second week of each month. We have the most amazing poets that have been winning awards and have been showcasing their front page picks on the website. You need to go check it out and read it because they're wonderful. And what we're going to do, we have our members have been getting a lot of front page picks, so I wanted to showcase their artistic work and poetry and lyrical songs, some of them. Some of them write songs, and I'm looking forward to reading and sharing. And I want to let you know I have two new co-hosts that will be co-hosting with me in Gray Eyes. It's going to be Weaver and also Frank, but he's with his family tonight. So we're going to get this show started. I'm very excited. So let's start picking up the poets and get ready to beautiful poetry.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Katie, welcome to the show. Congratulations on co-hosting with me. I really appreciate it. I am looking so forward to hanging out with you and working with you.
Oh, thank you. And I am too. And Gray as well. Hi, Gray. Oh, he's not there. Okay. I'm
picking him up.
My dear.
Yes. So let me finish. It takes a few minutes for it to add up. But this is my right-hand man. This is Gray Eyes Smith. Gray Eyes, welcome to the show.
Hello, Lou. Hello, Weaver.
Hello.
Hey, Gray. And then we also have one of our fabulous hosts, Miss Pam Ray.
Hey, Lou. Hi, Gray. Hi, Kate. Good to hear y'all.
Hi, Pam.
Good to hear y'all. And so welcome. What a fabulous group. And then we also, to let you know that you can find our poetry from poets around the world on Amazon.com. The books are titled Late Night Poets, and this is how we support the radio shows. These make fabulous gifts, and they look great on the table. They're beautiful books that were published by our group owner and late night poet, Bill My Eyes. And just to let you know, this poetry site, if you're listening, is free to join, and that's allpoetry.com. So now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, and we're going to start reading poetry. So would you like to post the first for us, Weaver?
Yes, my dear.
Oh, you did.
Here.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
You're so gutted. Thank you.
No problem.
Wow,
it's
you're right on
Glamour
time.
Orchestra. Winter Glamour's Orchestra by Randa. Yeah. And Pam, would you like to read this?
I'd be happy to. All right. Do-do-do-do-do. Winter's Glamour Orchestra by Randa Yazri. The lightning's quick steps flare, bends surely towards the earth and guides dreamy imagination's trips. Thunder's bells peal like an euphonious rock band. The chipper cloudbirds flap their wings. The crescendo of vigorous whirlwinds set free. The crystal eyes of the starry sky sparkle. The horizon blazes in an incredible cosmic glimmer. The luminous faces of streams, the dead-looking evergreen firs dance samba and sink. Rain drums on cheeks, anguish melts, eagerly sliding into a moment of elegance. An allure wins admiration. A bright glare stirs my senses. End poem.
I want to thank you for reading that for us, Pam. You did a beautiful reading and reading Rhonda's poem. You know, the imagery here is really striking, especially if you can see this huge thunderstorm that's building over covered trees. I really liked where she brought out the crystal eyes of the starry sky sparkle, the horizon blazes in an incredible cosmic glimmer, and the luminous faces of streams. The dead-looking evergreen ferns dance samba and sink. I thought she caught that so beautiful. Not only did she catch the imagery, but she brought the visual aspects and also just where she was saying that the trees are dancing in this huge thunderstorm that's moving in. Wonderful. What did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Well, it was filled with fantastic imagery, you know, and you can feel her emotion, her love of the rainstorm, you know, as anguish melts with the rain drums on her cheek and, you know, eagerly sliding into a moment of elegance. An allure wins admiration. A bright glare stirs my senses. Yeah, it's just a fantastic poem. Beautifully read, Pam.
Thank you, Gray. Wonderful comment. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, well, I'm really fond of that kind of weather. I was born in October, and I think it really suits me, this kind of thunder and lightning. And you picked up everything in that prompt pick, didn't you? I mean, there's the lightning, and then you can imagine you've got the thunder coming about 5 or 6 mm-hmm. seconds later, and there's the starry sky sparkling above. I think that's absolutely beautiful. Well, she does this so well. She describes everything so beautifully. So, yes, wonderful. Thank you.
Agreed. And, Pam, you read the poem. I'd like to know what you thought.
This definitely had strong imagery. I really like how she writes about the power of a storm and the way that it opens mm-hmm. up the senses. And it's beautiful all the way through, but my particular favorite stanza was that second to last one with the crystal eyes of the starry sky sparkle, the horizon blazes in an incredible cosmic glimmer. Wonderful imagery and very well done.
I agree. Lightning storms just charge me up. I enjoy it. And guess what? We got another reader, 785. Who are we speaking with?
This is Allison.
Hi, Allison. How are you doing this evening? Welcome, welcome.
It's great to be here and great to be with you all.
Happy to have you. Were you able to listen to Rhonda's poem and Pam's read?
Yes. And now, see, I just am still obsessing on the line, the dead-looking evergreen firs dance samba in sync. I mean, I love it when a poet doesn't say it dances. It gives it a dance name. It just really adds to the poem. I really love this poem because thunderstorms are my favorite thing, too. I like to
see
it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I have to go outside and just feel the electricity popping everywhere. And since I just wanted to know, Katie, are you got an electrical personality?
Oh, I think I'm pretty sharp. I'm pretty bright. But I can be switched off very easily. Oh, I'm talking about a light bulb, sorry. Yes, I am. I love the lightning.
Yeah, I would say she's shocking.
Yeah, me too, Anderson. Yeah, that, well, you know what?
That's the way I
like my friends.
Did I miss something that Gray said? Gray, what did you say?
Go ahead, Gray.
I said that you're shocking.
You know me so well. Okay, I'm going to... Thank you for that.
Oh, that's funny. And we are ready for our next poem.
Yes,
and
I
would like to say hello to Weaver, Harco, and Allison. Welcome, welcome to the show. And Gray Eyes, she put a poem up by Neutron. And I believe we have a recording. If you could please play that for us.
Okay, sure. Just one second here. Okay, I'm getting it now. Okay, here we go.
Garden of the Maligned. Drought-tolerant succulents, oversaturated with large droplets deluged by rain, 1 in 200 year storm event. Mold-ridden, tissue-dissolving, cellular structure broken down, rotting botanical carcass. The gardenia bruises with non-consensual touch, delicate, fragrant petals eliciting improper attention. It craves the bush, not confinement, in a flotilla of flame. Mr. Lincoln Rose, hybrid strength breeds disease resistance, drawing life through the robust stem, tended meticulously by the gardener. It is still prone to malignant attack by aphid and mold. The stamen bursts forth in bloom, unfurling to chase the sun, peaking with unrivaled enchantment, dying an excruciating death one petal at a time, until a gentle nudge causes a ruinous avalanche of crimson tawdry menstruations. Dionaea muscipula, the Venus flytrap, attracts insects and flies through secreting nectar, distinct pheromones, trapping its unwilling victims. Digestive glands secrete fluids. Enzymes dissolve the soft insect flesh, carnivorous nourishment. Burn bright, bloom infrequently, with the pungence of a corpse flower. Death is not the greatest loss in life.
Thank you, Gray, for playing that for me. Neutron, this was an amazing poem. You have such an... I love listening to all of you read, and I love her accent. I was reading in her author's notes. She says this prompt was written for, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside of us while we live. And I do find that so true. And right here, I just found this absolutely, her metaphor is just wonderful. where she says that one petal at a time until a gentle nudge causes a ruinous avalanche of crimson tawdry ministration. You know, there's nothing more saddening to me than, you know, to watch somebody just fade away. And, you know, and at times people can destroy those soft petals if we don't protect them. And I think that's why I love the rose so much, because at least the rose can protect itself with the thorns. So I'm going to get some comments now. Fabulous poem, Neutron, Gray Eyes.
I liked it. I liked her read. Her read was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, the poem's filled with such natural details to it. You know, with the 1 in 200 year storm event, you know. And then you got the rotting succulents. And then, you know, the gardenia bruises with the non-consensual touch. Delicate, fragrant petals soliciting improper attention. I mean, we always want to touch things that are pretty and, you know, appeal to us. And so, yeah, they get manhandled and slowly dying that way. And then the death of the rose is, you know, astounding. I thought it was just, you know, the stamen bears sport and bloom, unfurling to chase the sun, peaking with unrivaled enchantment, dying an excruciating death, one petal at a time.
Yeah.
You know, just a fantastic poem on the subject of life and death and beauty in the garden.
Thank you, Greg. That was a really good comment indeed. Thank you, Greg. And how about you, Katie? What did you think?
Yes, this told you about your garden. If you didn't know what was going on, you certainly know now. By golly, so much death. Oh, my favorite, I think, has got to be the Venus flytrap. Attracts insects and flies through secreting nectar, distinct pheromones, trapping its unwilling victims for carnivorous nourishment. Yes, that is serious confusion there. But it was beautifully written. As you say, metaphoric, beautiful. I once had a Venus flytrap, and it was positioned perfectly, and I thought it was going to flourish, and it didn't. Turns out my children were touching the leaves just to see it close. So basically, it was starving. Oh, what a shame. Anyway, that's just a little thing.
Curiosity. Yeah, curiosity fingers always want to touch things they're not supposed to.
Oh, it was amazing.
Thank you, Katie.
No problem, darling.
And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is definitely a powerful write. As always, Neutron has brilliant imagery and metaphors. It was good to hear her sound cloud. I really like how she takes us into this extended metaphor and the imagery of a garden where everything depends on everything. Mm. And if one little part falls apart, then the rest does. And there really is this really strong sense of how we oftentimes destroy ourselves by destroying the environment either in or around us. So excellent night and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. And what did you think, Allison?
I really love this poem. It was beautiful. And the I like how it started with the 200-year storm events drowning out the succulents. We've experienced that in our garden. And just the whole thing, all about how we, to me it was that thing about how we try to touch something beautiful and in doing so destroy it. We're just so, humans are so clumsy, and we kill the things we love, and that's what this made me think of. I really enjoyed it, appreciated it. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. Wonderful comment. And now we're back to Weaver.
Okay, my darling. We have Ballerina by the Moonsman. Now, Gray, would you care to read that, please?
Okay, sure. Ballerina by the Marksman. A young girl peers through cracks of a locked stage door. with tiny limbs exposed. She's full of inspiration and awe, imagining she's a ballerina. Nothing else, nothing more. As dancers fly, relive, and jet across the stage floor. Up through the ranks she soars, building her artistic flair. Pirouettes of hopes and dreams swirl through tousled hair. As she is elevated and transported into her magical place, polygamistically carried to musicality, beauty, and grace. Choreography, strength, and balance are honed into one. The pupil disappears as the ugly duckling becomes a swan. In the summer of her years, the pinnacle of her ability is clear, breaking the sunlight of applause, standing, ovations, and cheer. With her dreams realized, the stage door no longer bars her way as she dances as though she has wings and could simply fly away. Audiences provide fame and fortune as they clamor to see her. She is now world class and becomes the prima ballerina. When autumn leaves start to fall, she enjoys her final curtain call. Like a child, she is still mesmerized by the thrill of it all. During the standing ovation, listen to the audience make noise. Inhaling the energy, she takes her bow with elegance and poise. Her legacy of proteges perform in tutus of silk and lace, the embodiment of beauty, dancing with passion and grace. Aloft in the air, on silken wings, they flutter by like a butterfly, with sounds of dandelion seeds floating in the wind, swept sky. A single tear rises and spills out in remembrance of happy years fulfilled through blissful performance. Her spring alive with dreams, her summer pure romance, autumn full of drama, and winter a joyous final dance. As Debussy's Clair de Lune fills the room, her memory overflows with thoughts of point ballet shoes, dancing in recitals on her phone. As the music dies, she is the prima ballerina, and the whole world knows, taking a bow with each performance after one of her shows. Serenely content, peering through the cracks of the stage door, revealing the dream she once had, but needs no more. Under soft moonlight in the coolness of her winter's night, she slips away gracefully once more, taking flight. End poem.
Oh, Gray, you did a beautiful read of the Moxman's poem. I really enjoyed how you read this. You know, I love this poem because when you're an artist, whether you're in poetry or in dance, or a singer, or a painter, or a string instrument player, or a wind player, there's just something you work and you work. You know, when you're doing this, you're trying to achieve something, whether it's achieve for yourself or achieve to be presented in front of an audience. And I really love this where he says, when autumn leaves start to fall, she enjoys her final curtain call. Like a child, she is still mesmerized by the thrill of it all. During the standing ovation, listening to the audience make noise, inhaling the energy, she takes her bow in elegance and poise. And I really loved how he ended it. Because, you know, for me, when, you know, being a violinist, you just spend hours working and perfecting your technique. And then to play in front of an audience and have them clap, there is that energy that surges through you and just feeds you in some ways to excel and become better. And, you know, even now, you know, which I really like that ending stanza, when we would dance and put programs up and people would clap and cheer, that, you know, that encouragement that they give us, even in poetry. When I listen to poetry and I listen to your comments, it's that same energy that just lights up the inner soul. And no matter how old we are, we take those memories with us from youth, and we can remember all the way back to where we are now. And I just thought he pinned this gorgeously. This is a gorgeous poem. So let's get some comments. Katie.
Oh, what an amazing poem. Taking a young girl, gazing through the stage door, cracking the stage door, wishing someday to be there, to get to the point where she is, and she's a prima ballerina, and how hard that must be to learn, especially point. I mean, that must be so. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then
painful
she gets...
too.
Oh, yeah. And we've watched what's happening when people have to, you know, all the different things we see on TV when they're doing a documentary. You see how hard it is. Oh, but then you get to the end. You get to the my favorite last stanza, and everything comes together, and you see that she's had everything she wanted out of life, although she probably wanted a bit more. But under the soft moonlight and the coolness of her winter's night, she slips away gracefully, once more taking flight. That's just lovely. So a lovely life, although obviously hard work, but she got what she wanted, and that's just beautiful, I think. So well written. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Pam?
This is beautiful all the way through. I like how it takes us through this woman's, this dancer's life, from childhood to the end of life. And, you know, it's beautiful all the way through, but I especially did like the stanza that mentions her legacy of protégés performing tutus of silk and lace. The idea that not only that she herself found a love for the art, but that she passed it on to the next generation. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. And how about you, Allison?
This poem was so well done. I just have been looking at it and trying to choose any specific part that stands out. It's so difficult because every piece of it is so well written. It really reminded me a lot of what it's like. Oh, I forgot what you call it when it's not a career or it's I can't remember the word. Anyways, the total dedication that her whole life she spent reaching this goal, then living at the highlight of it, but then the graceful way that she lets go of it is amazing. I wish I let go of things so simply. I love the single tear rises and spills out in remembrance of happy years fulfilled through blissful performance. And that was just incredible. I could just feel every piece of this. I used to do ballet and I wanted to be a ballerina. And so it's a metaphor that was very easy for me to grasp onto and enjoy. And thank you for writing that.
Thank you, Allison. And Gray Eyes, you did a wonderful job in reading this poem. What did you think?
I thought it was, you know, had as much elegance and grace as a ballerina dancer. You know, he captures her life through the seasons quite brilliantly. And, you know, all the hopes and dreams and the life that she lived and then passing that on to the next generation. And just a beautiful poem.
My great, great eyes. Thank you. And now we're back to Weaver.
Okay, I've got your babe. Right, I've got Mother Nature by Socrates. And I will read this one.
Okay.
Mother Nature. Swallow the pit, hollow tunnel, dead beat, blue. Flushed out the vulva, blood-soaked, stabbed gash, food. Brain dead, horse meat, puddle of filth, vulture, chew. The lies of the fallen fable lies in the grass. The seed that flew straight out the donkey's ass. The hammer to a camel toe that peered out the bursting rash. An apple eaten by a carpet worm. And Mother Nature was born. End poem.
You did such a fabulous job in reading Socrates' poem on Mother Nature. I mean, the imagery in here, spectacular. as it is visual, I would have never thought of some of these words that he said, but I do like, you know, how he talks about the couplet at the end, an apple eaten by a carpet worm, the Mother Nature was born. You can just see all the rhymes and everything in here. And these images are so powerful that you visually can see them. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I agree with the imagery. It's fantastic imagery. But, you know, I was just looking at the author's notes, and it says Christian and spiritual. I'm having a tough time finding the Christian side of that. But other than that, I mean, it's a fantastic poem.
Creation?
Well written.
Christian. All right. Yeah, thank you, Gray. And how about you, Katie? I know you just read it, but what did you think?
Oh, I had a kind of a feeling what was going to happen when I opened it up, because I know his work. And I generally, unless I've actually read them as a front page pick, I generally don't read anything before I come on, because I love to be surprised by what comes up.
Me
this
too.
Didn't surprise me at all. This was exactly what I expected. And he does write beautifully. He just told, nothing is held back. It's just out there. And he does it so well. So I have to say, I enjoyed reading it because it gave me a little titter. And I thought it was very well written. So thank you.
Yeah, that's what I told Gray that before. It's like getting the prize in a Cracker Jack box. You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you, Katie. And Pam, what did you think of Socrates' poem?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I have to say, it's funny, I'm completely opposite. I was the type of kid who used to beg my dad to tell me what I was getting for Christmas and my birthday because I hated surprises. And I wanted to be prepared ahead of time.
Well, that's
like
true,
because
you never know what you're going to get. Oh, that's funny.
But, yeah, no, this is absolutely fabulous. And I really like how he's always so clever, thought-provoking, and creative with his imagery and metaphors. You know, to me, this really spoke on the cycles of life and death that we find in nature. But what I particularly did like that second stanza with the sea that flew straight out of the donkey's ass. No, you just think about the fact that, you know, so many times trees are planted because of, you know, the natural cycle. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to be polite saying it.
Oh, come on, you can
almost
say it, Pam. Dung.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and squirrel poop, everybody says, and, you know, it just, yeah, it's all part of the cycle of living and growing and all that fun stuff. So, very cool,
that's
right?
That's true. Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. And how about you, Allison?
Oh, this was just my type of poem. I loved it. You know, the whole idea of blowing up our idea. We always think of Mother Nature as this beautiful, wonderful floating woman in a white dress making daisies grow. Or it's not quite that bad, but a very specific sort of image we have. And this brings out the truth of Mother Nature, and I loved it. I loved the brain-dead horse meat, puddle of filth, vultures chew. And I've written a lot about carnivores. I love this recycling of life that happens in nature, and I thought this was really on point with all of that. Now, I thank you for that lovely reading.
You know what I was thinking when you were saying that? I was thinking of Mother Nature, that her, you know, that somebody's looking up her dress, because that's exactly what's going to happen, you know? Everybody's shedding something.
Yep.
Oh, man, that was a fantastic comment. Okay, Weaver, our next front page pick.
Oh, which is again? Next one is The Sound of Men by Iris Rose. And Alison, could you read that, please?
Yes, let me get that up. The sound of men. They gallop across snowy wastelands, free with noise in the air, noses in air, on hooves of steel. These nomads that roam the BLM land have unholy fears at the sound of men. The stallion slowly sniffs the air for scent. His ears pick up the noise of men. Far clouds billow up, then ascend, alarming the herd with the sound of men. Tensions crash across each eye and face, while eyes flashing full of fear escape. Booming sounds smashed through low madrone, men on horses throwing ropes, barking dogs. Then away they break, running down the stream, zigzagging through the sage, crisscrossing the plains, rapidly running rough, rugged rimrock steps, then over a small rise, climbing mountains, free.
Oh my goodness. That was wonderfully read, Allison. And I really enjoyed this poem by Irish Rose. This was just like watching a Western or watching a nature show. She just built it up. And, you know, I remember even as a child when I saw something trying to be captured, I would tell them, run, 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 you know. And, you know, man so much wants to control everything, even control nature. And, you know, sometimes this isn't for the good of these animals because, you know, we can look at all the news reports, how they're taken to make food for dogs and stuff. And, you know, that used to break my heart. So when she got to that, I was happy with her last stanza. Then away they break, running down the stream, zigzagging through sage, crisscrossing the plain, rapidly running rough, rugged rims, rock steep, then over a small rise, climbing mountain, free. You know, that freeness where we would, we not only do we want ourselves, but I thought that she caught that beautifully, the soul that doesn't want to be locked down and caged and tied down. And the imagery is spectacular. So let's get her and get some comments. Gray Eyes?
Yeah, I was reading my comment on it. I said, horses are such an endearing species. I enjoyed your telling of their near capture and ultimate escape. Well read as well, Allison. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gray. And what about you, Katie?
It does. It really, you don't even need the picture to understand exactly what this is about. I mean, they are wild, wonderful mm-hmm. animals. But mankind, as you say, needs to control everything. I mean, they even try to control alligators and crocodiles. What do we need them for? Why not just, you know, leave them alone? You bite your arm off, for goodness sake. You know, but still, the challenge is there. They climb big icy mountains with snow dropping on them just because it's there. I just don't see the logic of trying to kill yourself needlessly. I just don't get it. And this is beautifully written from the perspective of the horses, who really only want to run and eat and whatever else they want to do. They don't want to be somebody sitting on their back having to carry them everywhere. You see how they fight when they're trying to train them. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written and a very interesting poetry. So thank you, Irish Rose. It was lovely.
Thank you, Katie. Excellent comment. How about you, Pam?
Yeah, this is a wonderful story style, right? I do like how it really has that very epic feel to it. With the cowboys, the hardworking, and you know the interaction between them and the horses. I really like the imagery in this, especially where the lines that say tension crashes, cross eye, each eye and face, white eyes flashing full of fearful escape. Like you can just feel the energy going on within that stanza. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. How about you, Allison?
Well, I'll tell you, I wish I could have read this poem a couple of times before I read it out loud, because it's much more beautiful than the way I read it. Mm-hmm. It is just beautiful. And the part where it says, well, the stanza where it says, the stallion slowly sniffs the air for scent. His ears pick up the noise of men. Far clouds billow up, then ascend, alarming the herd with the sound of men. I just thought that was wonderful, because you see that in all animals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I live where there are wild animals, and even just watching my dog, you can see how they sniff the air and are aware of their surroundings, and they know, like deer and wildcats, they know when man is coming, and they have a reaction. And I thought that was beautifully captured in this.
Agreed. Fabulous comments, everybody. Boy, this show is just amazing. I'm enjoying all this poetry, reads, and comments. And we are ready for the next one, Luva.
Okay, my darling. This is Before the Storm Hits by Minstrel. And Ruyu, would you like to read this one, please?
Yes, it'd be my honor. Before the Storm Hits by Minstrel. Let us go to Mount Royal, where the leaves retain their hue, where season years do mingle in memories that accrue. We'll write the world upon the day, scatter our dreams to the wind, and place tomorrow on a hill with lavender in Berlin. We'll cross the Elbe River to the frigid northern sea, leave the darkness in its gale, that tempestuous energy. We'll saunter on the Norwich shores like Vikings on parade, then sail west to Montreal, where our memories were made. We'll build a dome upon the rock, a shield before the fall, turn the clocks back to our time before the winter squall. End poem. And we, well, Weaver, would you like to do the comments since I read?
Yes, of course. No problem at all. Okay. Gray, would you like to comment, my dear?
Sure. Beautiful read, Lee. And, you know, I like the poem. You know, it's full of loving remembrance, you know, and hearkening to better days before. And, you know, like, especially in that last stanza, we'll build a dome upon the rock, a shield before the fall, turn the clocks back to our time before the winter squall. But no, it was beautiful. And I liked that it had a Canadian city in it, Montreal.
Thank you very much. Thank you for those comments. And Pam, would you like to make a comment?
Oh, absolutely. This has brilliant imagery all the way through. And I love that title, Before the Storm Hits, and the way it just rolls into the rest of the poem, and the idea of just really living in the moment, appreciating the beauty of the day, and the way that everything is just so, just, I don't know, something about, you know, knowing that there's a storm coming and knowing that you have that day to just really enjoy and appreciate the beauty that you have around you. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was lovely. And Allison?
Yes, I was very struck by the stanza, we'll write the world upon the day, scatter our dreams to the wind, and place tomorrow on a hill with lavender in Berlin. I could so relate to that. That's what I so want to do every day, is place tomorrow on a hill, because it's not here yet, and enjoy the things that are around me in life. And this poem really made me think about that, and enjoying your memories. And the whole thing was just well done. Thank you.
Thank you for that lovely comment. Yes, I see exactly what you mean, all of you. That's what this is like. It would be lovely to basically just live in the moment. And I've heard that phrase. You know how you get buzzwords? They always come up, birds phrases. And I generally don't like them at all. But I think within the moment actually makes sense to me, because we tend to think, oh, in an hour I've got to do this and tomorrow I've got to do that. And your child is playing in front of you smiling and laughing, or there's a beautiful day outside with the sun shining and you're still thinking about what you have to do tomorrow or you have to do this afternoon. So yes, I thought that was a lovely take on what you can do with just turn the clocks back to our time before the winter squall. I think it's absolutely lovely, beautifully written. And Louie, would you like to make a comment?
Oh, yes. You know, I thought this was beautiful. I really liked Divine's piece. It was just so soft, and each stanza and line flowed into the next. And that's my bucket list. My bucket list is to, before the storms hit, to travel and to see things, because, you know, when we're passing away, the things we take with us are our memories. And I had read this article about this couple, what they found out that improved their life or made them happy. And they said just to travel places, pick up, you know, a little souvenir to take it home to remind you, and then go to the next place. So it's a constant reminder. And, of course, you know, we all want to get to some place before the storms hit. You know, there's nothing worse than, you know, going somewhere and then just like we were in this huge rainstorm, and it just a bunch of us went on a bike run up in the Apache Mountains, and the rain just, we weren't expecting rain to hit, and it just pelted us like BB guns. So it hurt so bad, but it was so beautiful at the same time, you know. So I think there is something about traveling and carrying all those memories with you. I love this poem.
Oh, thank you for that. Wonderful. I've got the next poem up, Blackwater by Cedar Chapman. And Gray, could you read that, please?
Sure, no problem. Blackwater by Cedar Chapman. Bats and blackbirds flutter over me, the zerotope of headlights passing by, hollow eyes leer at my patent leather and heels, a slab of prize meat hanging. Your sullen skull furrows my breast with each heavy breath. Cigarette smoke and whiskey rye consume the car until I can breathe no more. I lay it on black water, floating, counting seconds. Each tick and talk cuts me like frigid razor ripples slicing into an iceberg. I am bleeding, drip, drop. Drip, drop. The devil sings me a lullaby. His wistful melody numbs me. I close my eyes as dry tears seep down my face and wake to stand by flickering street lamps greeting me once more and whole.
Oh, Gray, that was such a wonderful read by Cedar Chapman. Thank you so much. You know, I want to congratulate him for winning the gold and Pam contest. And, you know, this is just amazing. He pulls us into this imagery. I love poems that are emotive and I can feel and I can taste the words. That to me is really exciting. And this is why this is such a joy. Like, he's got so many beautiful stanzas here, but this one I really like because you can just feel the heaviness on your chest. I'm sure some of us at one time have felt this, but it says your sullen skull burrows in my breast with each heavy breath. Cigarette smoke and whiskey rye consume the car until I can breathe no more. That's the darkness and the deepness of that. The imagery is spectacular. I really enjoyed this. Thank you, Cedar. And what did you think about the poem? And I know you read it, Gray Eyes.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit haunting. You know, to me, it seems like he's being you know, tortured in his dreams, and like he's a slab of prize meat hanging. And then, you know, he says, I lay on black water, floating, counting seconds. Each tick tock cuts me like frigid razor ripples slicing into an iceberg. I am bleeding. And then he says, and awake to stand by flickering street lamps, greeting me once more. So it's almost like he's homeless, and, you know, he's homeless and haunted at the same time. So just a double whammy tragedy. Excellent, right, though?
I agree. Thank you, Gray. Great, great comment. And you, Katie?
Well, I don't know why, but for some reason, I feel that there's guilt in his nightmares. That I know there's a lady in the picture, but I see a skull, and I read, your sullen skull borrows my breath with each heavy breath. Cigarette smoke and whiskey rye consume the car until I can breathe no more. So it's either he's having a nightmare or he's trying to kill himself in his car, but there's something deep within this that I can't quite get at, because he's been sliced and he's bleeding, and then the devil's singing him a lullaby. It really does sound to me like there's an awful lot of guilt going on, but I could be wrong. This is, we all read what we do into whatever we read, don't we? But that's kind of my play on it.
That was an excellent comment, Katie. And you, Pam?
Yeah, this is definitely a write, obviously, that had very much impressed me. It was one of those rare contests where I only had one prompt, and it's always fun to see what people get from just one prompt. And I loved listening to Graves and Weaver's comments and yours, and it's interesting to how people get different ideas. Now, I think they were both really kind of spot on in their interpretation, especially when Gray mentioned the idea that the person was homeless, and Weaver mentioned the idea of there being some really deep and a guilt in this, because how I took this, and of course this is just my interpretation, I don't know for sure, is I took this from the point of view of a woman who was a prostitute. My comment to him was that it was amazing imagery and metaphors and was a powerful dark write on the turmoil of the mind when the body is treated as a slab of meat. So there is this kind of, it is extremely dark, extremely emotive, and there definitely is a sense of somebody who is not treated like a human being should be treated. So excellent write and very well done.
Fantastic comment, Pam. I really enjoyed it. And how about you, Allison?
Well, this was a very intriguing write, and everyone's comments has had me re-look at this poem and see it a little bit different. It's, I think it's a very complex poem. I sort of, what I was kind of getting at it, but was the cigarette smoke and whiskey rye consume the car until I can breathe no more, made me think that he was, and then I lay on black waters, floating, counting seconds. That whole stanza, it makes me think that he drove his car out off a bridge into the water, maybe on purpose, maybe not. And then the devil singing me a lullaby, his wistful melody numbs me. I close my eyes as dry tears seep down my face. And then the last two lines, I went, wait a minute, didn't I understand this at all? Because he wakes up by the flickering street lamps, greeting him once more. And so it's one that I need to reread, and everybody's comments made me zero in on this poem in a different way. And those are my favorite poems, is the ones that leave the reader openings to see so many different things in the poem. And that's all. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, after listening to everybody's comments and Pam's and yours, it's just like maybe she did die and this is her spirit that's unrestlessly on streets where she's just lost, just a lost spirit. Fantastic. This is why we do front page picks. So I can't wait to read the next poem, Weaver. What do you got for us?
the next one we have is The Denizens of Delirium by Bill Schiller. And I have it here. I will read this one. Got to do some work after all. Okay. Into the... deep breath. Right, go. Into the cerebral citadel, Hop Frog strode to Quasimodo. He presents stolen lid of Jerusalem, magic bowl filled with crescent rolls. Albert Einstein and Ezra Pound dance in a parade of piccolos. Piccolos. Marie Antoinette eats burnt cake as Helen Keller holds her nose. Bobby Fischer, Burt Bacharach, and Zorba Greek lost all will to speak. 10 whores sneak out of doors led by Marilyn Monroe and Groucho Marx. Natty Bumpo and Quella Quigg crouch comparing spears and arrows. They're preparing King Lear for a bout of limbo. Harry Houdini and Hamburglar frantically free the clasp of cuffs. Somewhere on a bridge, Billy Goats desperately seek their gruff. In distance, can hear scream of Pillsbury Boy drowning in his dough. Hear me giggle when these poke at me. Excuse me as I laugh at jokes you'll never likely hear nor see. All join an army to resist provoke of ideas against the mind's defense. Pavlov's mouth waters in warning of morning battle will commence. In clatter of mental break, all thought is fraught with practice in pretense. End poem. Sorry for stumbling.
You really did an awesome job of reading that poem, Katie, by Bill Schiller. You know, what I like is when somebody kind of does that Alice in Wonderland type of poetry that twists and turns. And there's so many images in here, but it is impossible for me to pick. Oh, what I like the most, between the Pillsbury Boy drowning, but I like this Harry. I thought this was just awesome. Harry Houdini and Hamburglar frantically free the clasp of cuffs. Somewhere on the bridge, Billy Goats desperately seek their gruff. I mean, just the imagery in here, and the way that he spins modern and ancient characters. People who lived and people in fantasy lore or, things that we see in commercials. I just thought this was absolutely brilliant. This was just so much fun, and it was fun to read. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. It had excellent imagery, and it was a very fun write. You know, you can feel the humor in this film. Especially where he says, Harry Houdini and Hamburglar frantically free the clasp of cuffs. Somewhere on the bridge, Billy Goats desperately seek their gruff. That was fantastic. And then in the distance, can hear scream of a Pillsbury boy drowning in his dough. Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, come on, Gray. You got to do that with a little more emotion like Weaver.
Go for it.
Yeah, come on, read it again. Thank you, Gray. Awesome comment. Yeah, she did a great job. And what did you think about the poem, Pam?
Well, this was just fun. It was clever. It was fun. It had great wordplay. I really liked Harry Houdini and Hamburglar frantically free the clasp of cuffs. really quite a tongue twister. And so excellent write and very well done.
Agreed. How about you, Allison?
I really liked this poem because it was fun. I just, it took me a while. Like Hamburglar, when I was reading it, I didn't put it together. Oh, that's Hamburglar. And so then I chuckled later. It's like, I just really enjoyed it because it was fun. Yeah.
Yes, it was. I enjoyed it too. And how about you, Katie? You read it. What did you think?
I just thought to myself, why did I pick this one to read, I wonder? Me up all the way. dear. Never pick an easy one, Kate. That's the way to go. I thought it was brilliant. I love reading it. I really did. I was waiting for the next thing to come along. Yeah, great. I particularly loved Bobby Fischer, Burt Bacharach, and Zorba the Greek lost all will to speak. 10 Horse Sneak Out of Doors led by Marilyn Monroe and Groucho Marx. Oh, that was brilliant. Oh, it was so well done. I mean, really. I loved the one that you all picked out as well with the Somewhere on a Bridge, Billy Goats Desperately Seek Their Gruff. What a wonderful mind. What an amazing mind he has. It's so good. I loved it. Thank you.
I did too. Thank you. Fantastic poem, Bill. So now we are going to our next poem, Weaver.
Yes, we do. It's unreasoned myself in time. Right, we have Alison has one here. Alison, would you care to read this? The Troubadour by you.
Sure, I'll give it a shot. The Troubadour. I waxed upon your kitchen floor. You peered at me from near the door. I shifted with the shining sun. You watched my waxing shift and run. I waned upon your hammock bed. You stopped to bend and kiss my head. I shrank before you to a line. Came back to fullness when it's time. I rose in red and shameless grace, my rust hue shone upon your face. You watched in wonder as I passed, your deep blue robe in stark contrast. White as a pearl, I crossed the sky and lingered till the sun was nigh. Honoring each new dress I wore, you wove my name into each lore. But you had end of days to face, though through each night I gave my grace. I now eternity must live without the praise you had to give.
Aw. You know what? This is wonderfully written. Here, I love rhyme that just blends. And then it just, like a paintbrush, it's just waving and painting all the imagery. And I loved it. Oh, gosh, so many things I love. White as a pearl, I crossed the sky and lingered till the sun was high. Honoring each new dress I wore, you wove my name into each lore. That was absolutely beautiful. I loved how you described the moon and how she dances into the sky and then into the love of this troubadour. Wonderful, wonderful written poem, Alison, and I really loved your read. So now we're going to get some comments. What did you think, Gray? You're welcome. Gray Eyes?
You know, it's beautiful yet tragic. You know, I mean, this is coming to an end but you had the end of days to face. Though through each night I will give my grace. Now eternity I must live without the praise you had to give. And, you know, I noticed that in your comment you said this was a troubadour in love with the moon, and the troubadour eventually dies, leaving the moon alone. So that was a fantastic, right? Beautiful expression of love and devotion and loss.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you.
And what did you think, Katie?
Well, I thought that first line was amazing, Alison. I waxed upon your kitchen floor. You peered at me from near the door. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. Waxing and waning of the moon. You watched my waxing shift and run. I thought it was lovely. And so sad at the end. I mean, we know all things end, but generally everybody ends. When you're in love with the moon, that's it. You've gone and the moon's still there. That's very sad. I thought it was beautifully written, and I really thank you for sharing it with us. Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, that was a wonderful read there, Alison. You know, this had just beautiful rhyme and flow to it, wonderful imagery. I always enjoy the personification of the moon. Beautiful all the way through, but I particularly like, I rose in red and shameless grace, my rust you shone upon your face, you watched in wonder as I passed, your deep blue robe in stark contrast wonderful lines there, beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Allison, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Yeah, it's become one of my favorite. I've read it a couple of times now on a show, and it really is for me about, it reminds me of vampires. What is it like when you're eternal and those things that love you die? That's just what it made me think of. That's sort of where that came from.
Oh, well, you penned it beautifully. Thank you so much. Okay, Weaver, we're ready for our next one.
Okay, my dear, it's coming along. For some reason, it's not sending. Come on. Bear with me a moment. My computer's playing silly persons with me. I'll try another page. Here we go.
Oh.
It will be there in a second.
Yes, it does.
There, it's there. The Fragrance of Roses. So I want to, Pam, would you read this, please?
I would be happy to. Just give me a moment to add a comment, and then there we go. And back to Late Night Poets. All right. The Fragrance of Roses by S.V. Madison, and it goes like this. At the edge of the ocean, at the entrance to the sea, a maiden fair waits for me. In the cold mist of a frosty morn, she rises from the waves and takes form. She drifts on the shore with the tide to take her place by my side. The fragrance of roses fills me as we embrace lovers from a different time and a different place. Love has found me through centuries apart. Love has found me those centuries apart. She captured my spirit, then my heart. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. That was such a beautiful read, Pam. You know, Essie, this is such a gorgeous poem. I loved your imagery in here, you know, because I do believe that there are kindred spirits and that they search for each other through time. And the imagery he has here is just absolutely stunning. I wish everybody could see it. But to me, I loved the entire piece, but that couplet, love has found me through centuries apart. She captured my spirit, then my heart. When you finally come together and see each other again, this was absolutely beautiful. Kindred soul. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
I believe it, that exact sentiment. Thank you. But you do, as far as kindred spirits searching for their lover across time and space, you know, through ages and millennia. And so I think that it captures that beautifully, you know, the ghostly type love, the very spiritual and deep, right?
I agree. Thank you, Greg. How about you, Katie?
Oh, yes. It's a beautiful picture. It's so lovely. Yes, I thought this was exceptionally well written. Again, you have this. There's a sadness. Lovers from a different time and different place. Love has found me those centuries apart. She captured my spirit, then my heart. So basically, this is another... more or less unrequited. This is another somebody waiting for somebody they're never going to actually get to touch. She's there, she's beside him, but for some reason I get the feeling that she's not really going to be there for long. I just thought it was a lovely write and full of an awful lot of pathos, which I thought was beautiful anyway. Thank you.
It is. Thank you, Katie. How about you, Pam?
This is a beautiful write. It really just pulls at the heartstrings. I like how it's a fantasy piece, and yet at the same time has a sense of reality to it, and that idea of a deep love that can't be stopped by a separation of time and space. So excellent write and very well done.
Pam, wonderful comment. How about you, Allison? Allison? Are you still there?
I'm still here. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. So welcome to the gang of the people who forget to unmute.
No, I really enjoyed this poem because it really took me places. I could so relate to it. I believe in things like parallel universe, that time isn't real, and the past and the future meet at points and stuff like that. So this was really pour into all those parts of me, and it reminded me of a dream I had when I was 16 that was so vivid. And of course, being 16, it involved a love person. But it was so incredibly real that when I woke up, cried and cried and cried because I felt like I had been torn away from another world and another person that was part of me. And that is the sense I got from this was that I guess it's kind of future looking, that this is what was going to happen to them. And I really enjoyed the poem.
Yeah, you don't want to wake up from your dream. And it just stays with you always, that sense of loss. Thank you, Allison. And we have a caller 703, who we speak in with?
Three guesses and the first two don't count.
Hey, Patty.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. It sounds like you're feeling better.
Men's amends.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm so happy to have you. Did you get to hear or the poem that was just read?
No, but I'm sorry I didn't, because it sounded like an intriguing conversation. I mean, someone mentioned something about not wanting to wake up from a dream. Boy, I can really, the ones I don't like is when I wake up alone. It's like, oh, damn. You know?
That's and you know what? You don't forget it. Yeah, it just it lingers.
Yeah. And no flowers and no kissing. That's the trouble.
Well, welcome to the show, Bobby. We're so happy to have you. And
thank you.
We're going to go back to Weaver for her to add our next poem.
Hi, Bobby. Wonderful to hear you. Wonderful. It just so happens that you're going to be put to work, because it would appear I have a poem by Captain B2 waiting to be read. Amazing.
As the Irish say, go on with it now.
So whenever you're ready, my dear, there for you.
Okie dokie. Well, Luyu was asking for recent first page picks. I hadn't had one for a while, so this was this is top of the pile. So I threw this one in. This was for a contest for Twisted Tuesdays, and it's called Family of Man. And the inspiration here is a conversation from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Azim, salam, little one. Small girl, did God paint you? Azim, did God paint me? For certain. Small girl, why? Azim, because Allah loves wondrous varieties. And here's the poem. As Pam likes to say, and it goes like this. We are hominin, all that implies. Hath not a hominin hands, organs, dimensions, and eyes, senses, affections, passions, fears, and desires, chilled by the same frostiness, warmed by the same fires, wounded by the same weapons, confined by the same constraints, poisoned by the same pollutants, sufferers from the same complaints, victim of the same villainy, equally injured by wrong, and does not each of us seek shelter, the place where we belong? Do we not quench thirst with water, consume the same food? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If unhappy, do we not breathe? Are we not restored by the same means, the kind and healing touch? And to each, does not loving and being loved mean just as much? We are wondrous varieties, all shapes, colors, sizes, so many lifestyles, cultures, faiths, beliefs, languages, enterprises. This planet is our shared home, our solitary ride through space, and the stewardship of Earth and man we should seek to embrace. Yet we should always remain mindful and never fail to see that what you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me and thee. And our species must join together as across the ages we span, for we are the caretakers of our world. We are the family of man. And
oh my goodness, Bobby. This is wonderfully penned. You know, the way I see a forest with wildflowers and trees, you know, I see the strength of men, the pine trees, the cedar, as they cover and protect the different variety of grasses and wildflowers. And when I was listening to you read this poem, it just made me remember the beauty of the world. And just like humans are, we're all different colors, like you said here, different faiths, beliefs, languages, you know, but we all live in the same place. And right here, this is, you know, this to me is just something that is so common sense that I can't understand why there's so much violence and hatred in the world, because we have to live on a unified terrain where you said, wounded by the same weapons, confined by the same constraints, poisoned by the same pollutants, sufferers the same complaints, victims to the same villainy, equally injured by wrong, and does not each of us seek shelter, the place where we belong? And, you know, that is, you know, all humankind wants a home. They wanted to be treated equally, even if they're different. You know, one of the things somebody told me one time was the Great Spirit never talked about races, dividing us like we do. I mean, he just saw us as the people. And I just wish people would just learn that we're all here together and we need to learn to love and respect each other. I really like this poem. I think you did a fantastic job in pinning to this, Bobby. And Gray, what did you think?
Fantastic read, Bobby. But, you know, I like the poem. You know, it speaks to the truth that we are all cut of the same cloth. You know, if you prick me, do I not bleed? And, you know, if you tickle me, do I not laugh? And, you know, if you poison me, do I not die? I really like caught that in this whole poem. And then I really like the way you ended it off with, for we are the caretakers of the world. We are the family of man. Just a beautiful poem, beautiful sentiment.
Great. Thank you, Gray. Excellent comment. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, I agree with all the comments made. It's just a beautiful piece of poetry, as I would have expected from our Bobby, of course. But look at it. We've got my favorite. We've got my favorite thing, which is the end stanza. Everything's brought together for you. Everything is there that we need to know. We need to care about each other. When is it ever going to happen? My goodness. I don't even read newspapers anymore because I am so saddened by what goes on, you know. If a society cannot look after its young and its elderly, that society has gone down the tube, as far as I'm concerned, because there is no reason for us not to be caring people, but we seem to be power hungry. When I say we, I mean you lot. When I say you lot, I mean men, because women, I don't think women are quite as controlling to that extent anyway. We don't need 65 countries to rule. So I thought it was beautifully done. Thank you so much, Bobby, for putting that in for us.
Well, thank you.
Yes, agreed. Thank you, Katie, and congratulations on your silver body. Pam, were you able to hear the poem by Bobby?
I didn't get to hear it, but it is one, since I was the one who gave her the silver, that I had read before, you know. So, and it was one that definitely should be brought out multiple times because, as I said before, you know, I was so glad that you were inspired by all the pictures and the theme of the family of humanity. And I liked how the concept of this, right, was the idea that though we may have our differences, there's so much more that connects us to each other than that separate us from each other. And it's a strong right all the way through and very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. And would you like to say anything, Bobby?
Contest, and I have a long time ago, my uncle had amazing powers of observation. He was a strange ranger, but I loved him because he came out with some things every once in a while that were just absolute nuggets. And we were looking at some National Geographic thing together, and there was a picture, I believe, of a man, older, I don't know what culture he was, just his face looked like a 20 miles of Death Valley fire trails.
Wow.
My uncle looked at her, and he says, look at that face. He said, look at the character in that face. And he said, there's a story right there. And when he said that, it just stayed with me all my life. And when I look at pictures of people, photographs, or I even look at people and the different faces, and you can't help but wonder how much of their lives are they wearing on their face, or how much of the story is told, how much of it's untold. And that's when I saw all of those beautiful photographs of all the different cultures and examples of what people I've never met and will never meet. But it struck me like a conversation I had one time with a couple of tourists from Canada. When I was still working, I would metro every day. And in the spring and summer, you meet the most wonderful people coming into D.C. to experience the city. And I was talking to a family from Canada and telling the young man where I'd been in the world, all the different cities I'd visited and been. And he said, well, what's your favorite city? He says, what's your favorite place? And I looked at him and I said, my favorite place is the place I haven't been to yet, and my favorite people are the one I haven't met. And it just, I cleave to that. I just, there's so much to see and do out there and people to meet and stories to hear that when Pam had contest with all the photographs, it just, that's what came pouring out of me.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you for calling in to read. I miss you, girl, when you don't call in.
You're a sweetheart.
Yeah, I love you guys. Okay, so now, Katie, do your magic. Next poem.
Certainly, my dear. Sorry, I managed to mute myself again. Now, this one has a SoundCloud, I think. This is a Spanish Passion by Poetic Picasso.
Of course.
And Gray Eyes, he did send in a recording. Could you play it, please?
Absolutely. Mi amor. Wet and exotic on the lips of a Latin lover, like the sweet taste of erotic honey melting to the excited taste buds of your thirsty mouth, yearning to sip in the wine of my kisses. My skin is so smooth and so delicious, like a sexy texture and layer of caramel, my chest naked and sculptured in flesh.
the seduction of a steady flame. Even your hair is silky, like a small feather. My tongue is a tickling moisture of exploration. Our chemistry is the fuel of a warm fire of lust. In my hips, the movement of a double helix. My waking body is absorbing ambrosia. My dripping perspiration, your insatiable elixir. Impassioned strings of a flamenco guitar. The sounds of a sensual dance of lovemaking. Whispering words of amorous coquetry. A sultry night of a flame burning its scented wax. Over the curves of your bosom, blossoming in the heat. The conduction of the climax of our erupted fusion. Spanish passion is the oddity of two minds, emerging in the pleasures and desires of lovers, an autumn blaze of such immeasurable fire attained, with an intensity and duration of the sexual sparks at 19. Tu cuerpo es el lienzo de mi propia creación, tú eres la fantasía de una noche, donde tu llama es fuerte y inapagable. Yo me ahogo en la cera que se extiende en el calor. Your body is the canvas of my creation, and you are the fantasy of a night, where your flame is strong and inextinguishable. I am drowning in the wax, spreading in the heat.
Goodness, Frank. Oh, as my grandmother used, this is so erotic and sexy. Oh my God, I'm still stuck on that first stanza where wet and erotic are the lips of a Latin lover, like the sweet taste of erotic honey melting into the excited taste buds of your thirsty mouth, yearning this sip the wine of my kisses. Oh my gosh. Oh, my kissing is just so erotic. And the other thing that just I could just see the bodies in the heat of this sensual lovemaking just moving to the music and moving to the rhythm of the heat in the heart. This was just, I'm going to let Pam say it, but this was hot. And what did you think, Greg?
Yeah, muy caliente. Very hot. It was deeply passionate sensuality expressed in such a seductive language. Excellent, right? Great to hear it again.
Thank you, Greg. How about you, Katie?
Oh, hello.
Agreed.
Yes, that was hot, hot, hot. Can I say it in American? Hot, hot, hot. No, I can't. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I thought it was lovely. The stanzas were just so sensual and slow and seductive and like the sexy texture and layer of caramel. Yes, I thought you did a beautiful, and the music in the background is always wonderful, but I thought you did a beautiful, sensual write. And you may not hear from me for a couple of minutes or so. I'll be back. Thank you very much for that. It was a pleasure, or it certainly will be. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, definitely muy caliente. And
yeah,
Kate,
girl.
If there's going to be any heavy breathing on your end of the phone, Kate, make sure to mute yourself. That's all I'm saying.
Or just wait until Wednesday when we're all breathing.
Yeah, right? No, this is
beautiful,
central, right? I loved the imagery in it. I really liked how the passion in it, the eroticism, especially my awakened body is your starving ambrosia, my dripping perspiration, your insatiable elixir. And it's not only the word choicing and the imagery that makes this sensual. Mm-hmm. It's that there really is a sense of confidence. And there's something so very sexy about confidence. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, Pam, I'd like to know how much confidence you would like to tell us to get. Where is your manual? Between you and Frank, I'll write a manual.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What is it? Something for dummies, except this would be something for heavy breathers.
Something for heavy breathers.
Oh, man. Yeah, we would get in trouble if we started moaning online. Still would.
You'd have trouble.
Oh, my goodness. And Bobby. Oh, I would love to know what you think.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, yeah. Girl, bring it on. Bring it on, girlfriend.
Molto sensuale, molto caldo. Si viola. Cuore della teria. Frank knows exactly what I said. I said very sensual, very hot, and I slid out of my chair.
I think that during that whole time I stopped breathing.
Well, I know several people that would form a line to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
We can always Weaver. Weaver.
Frank has such a gift with sensuality. It's very erotic, but in a very lusty and tastefully provocative way. I mean, it's just difficult to pigeonhole. I don't want to say to label Frank's sensual poetry because it is so passionate, but it is also very loving. And very excited. It's not just simply base. I mean, you could trot out any number of adjectives, adverbs, and verbs, and slam them together and come up with. But Frank crafts his pieces with such great care for the sensibilities of the reader to appeal to their sense of passion, to provoke. Their sense of imagination and loving, and to put them in the position into the moment, and that's mm-hmm. a real gift. So I say Frank, he paints with a very fiery palette, but my God, it was a great beauty.
I agree. Thank you so much, Weaver. Weaver, are you there?
You want the next? I am, my dear.
I would like to put up Pee Wee because he's in the group participating. And we always do the second hour, those that are participating. And after that, could you please put up Pam? I'm going to try and make sure we don't miss anybody.
Well, I've already got Pee Wee's up. That's ready to go.
That's fine.
Okay. So I will ask Greg. Greg, could you read this, please?
Sure. This is called The Longest Mile by Pee Wee Kusan. Headless newsman, he wears a smile, although he doesn't have much to say. walk the walkway, the longest mile, and everything left just goes away. 16 pence and 14 pounds doesn't seem that high of a price to keep your body on solid ground, assuming that the execution is nice. How you got here, you just won't say. Must have fallen off that wagon again. Hangman calling, and today's the day. Down the barrel of the noose man's sin. He's coming, all dressed in style. You're waiting for that clock to stop. Stroll the walkway, the longest mile, and the noose man's hammer drops. Good morning, a hearty good night. All the things you never think you say. Pull the switches, turn out the lights. It doesn't matter, as today's your day. Take the walkway, the longest mile. Still a word never crossed his lips. Headless newsman wears a smile on every bright, sunny day like this. End poem.
Wow, Gray, that was a fantastic read. And, you know, Pee Wee, congratulations on your gold medal. I had to go look at the photograph because of your poetry. It made me so curious. And, you know, this is just a fantastic write. I was looking, you made me look at the photograph differently, as if I was looking through a tunnel of what we see in life and what happens and what, you know, we have to go through. And I've been where, you know, your ending stanza, take the walkway, the longest mile, and I could actually see that you just pulled me into your powerful imagery. And then I could see that headless horseman, still a word never crossed his lips, headless Norseman wears a smile on every bright, sunny day like this. And I could just hear him walking down that street all dressed up and with a cane. And I just thought this was magnificent. This was excellent. Wow, you really took me on a journey here. What did you think, Gray Eyes?
I like it, you know. I mean, take the long walk, you know, because you don't know how long you have. Today could be your day, you know, with the hangman or the newsman, his hammer falling, and that's it. Good night, too. So enjoy your day, and take the long way.
Great. Thank you, Gray. Excellent comment. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, yes, I really enjoyed it. It was very, very, very well done. I thought it was 16 pence and 14 pounds. It doesn't seem that high a price to keep your body on solid ground, assuming that the execution's nice. I just love the imagination. It's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, oh, yes, the last stanza, take the walkway, the longest mile. Still a word never crossed his lips. Headless newsman wears a smile on every bright, sunny day like this. Oh, ooh. Yes, that made me shiver. I thought that was incredibly well written, and thank you so much for sharing it with us, Pee Wee.
Thank you. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this was definitely an epic write. I really enjoyed the rhyme in it. I liked the storytelling. I really like how he brings us into that moment where somebody, a condemned man, is walking towards the gallows, towards the hangman, and the executioner walking with him, and how it must feel truly like just like it, time has both slowed down and sped up at the same time. So excellent write and very well done.
Agreed. And thank you, Pam. And what did you think, Bobby?
I've read this piece before. I was impressed by it first time I read it. It is an interesting and I think quite imaginative and inspired interpretation of the prompt, which just to look at a rather innocuous photograph, but the trip it took him on and that he took us with him, it just was remarkable. The structure itself And I don't, because I don't want to neglect the technical expertise in this. The structure itself is so melodic. It's almost like a wave machine that it just picks you up with the first stanza and just carries you stanza by stanza as it rises and falls. And in certain spots, his use of assonance is quite it's almost the quality of a song lyric, but the storytelling itself is very compelling. Matter of fact, I was so impressed by this piece after I read it, I threw it up. That sounds great. Let me try that again. I tossed it into the FPP pile because I thought it merited it. It was such a really inspired piece of writing.
Agreed. Excellent comments, everybody. God, I'm really loving this poetry. And now we have our next front page pick by our very own Pam Ray. Yay, Pam.
Yay, Pam.
Hi. Love Thank you. And this was a poem I actually wrote for a contest that Betty Page ran for her birthday, where she wanted a magical, like, birthday party poem. So this is a magical tea party, and it goes like this. Sunshine, turquoise sky, shimmering water, pink sand, flamingos dancing, Rubio's tea sipped, jewel butterflies and fairies swinging from flowers, dainty sandwiches, magical margaritas, sugar sprinkled sweet, magic mushroom ice carved into majestic swans, dripping rainbow dreams, willow trees waving to sultry kisses, blowing tropical breezes, hookah pipe parade, flashing strings, fancy lights to make the mind glow, beautiful princess dressed in red satin and silk, twirling and swirling, a lasting love dance with caterpillar giggles and purple haze smoke, bright bubblegum smiles, seductive nibbles galore, mystic moans swaying, pomegranate slush, icy cold melting juices in ecstasy day, autumn birds singing rock, jazz, electric pop, reggae, happy birthday tunes, and home.
Oh, Pam. Oh, man. Okay, this is what I love, fantasy poetry, especially when I can identify and know what you're reading about. Congratulations on your gold medal. This was very well deserved. And I don't know when she had her birthday, but belated happy birthday. What I loved was when you got into that second stanza, Rubio's tea sip, jeweled butterflies and fairies swinging from flowers. I love Rubio's tea. And I don't know if any of you ever drink it, but this is a real healthy tea. And when you let it sit, it turns this beautiful garnet ruby red in your glass. That it's not only, it has a light taste, but the color. And then when you said drink this, you took me into those rubied, shiny, beautiful things that make us happy. You know, I the hookah pipe parade, flashing strings of fancy lights to make the mind glow. You know what? I have strung lights everywhere because they remind me of fireflies and twinkling lights. And I don't know if you probably can hear me smiling while I'm reading this. I enjoyed this. I didn't mean to giggle while you were reading, but it was so delightful. I couldn't help but giggle, especially when you got to the lasting love dance with caterpillar giggles and purple haze smoke. Who does not like to drink Rubio's tea under beautiful twinkling light in a hookah haze? My type of poem. So this is just awesome. I'm smiling so much my cheeks hurt. So let's get you some more comments. Gray Eyes.
Beautiful poem, Pam. You did a fantastic job reading it. But, you know, in my comments, I said, your pen is a paintbrush and your words the palette. Your powerful and creative mind shines brilliantly through the right. Excellent job, Pam.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you, Gray. And now I would like to know what Katie has to say.
Well, you know what Katie's going to say. Absolutely beautiful. I just love this. It dances and it twirls and it takes you along. I really want a dainty sandwich and I really want sugar sprinkled sweets right this moment, right now. And it's 4:15. Quarter to five, a bit early for me. Yes, I thought, oh, you did a beautiful, beautiful job on this, Pam. It was, and I love the picture. It was so cute. But yes, the colours, the movement, sunshine, turquoise sky, shimmering water, pink sand, flamingos dancing, just beautiful. And I'm hurrying up a little bit because I've got want to get another couple of poems in. So please excuse me for being a little bit brief, but I love it.
Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. And what did you think about this poem, Bobby?
I'm sitting here contemplating what struck me immediately, and I have to apologize for the way my brain works because it's kind of different from everyone else's. As I looked at it, and I listened to it before I looked at it, but when I looked at the poem, what immediately struck me is a detail that was so subtle, Pam, I strongly suspect that it slipped by most of your readers. You wrote this for Betty Page for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote it in her favorite structure. You did a Senryu chain. And when I saw that, I went, now that's a detail that speaks volumes about the powers of observation and the depth of thought that goes along with Pam's writing, because she constructed a birthday greeting for Betty Page. And if you look at Betty's poetry, she is the queen of Senryu chains. And the way Pam did this with each line being able to stand on its own, and not so much each stanza, but each line gets to stand on its own. And there's the real test of a Senryu chain. I mean, dainty sandwiches, magical margaritas, sugar sprinkled sweets. Each line is independent of the other, but together, woven together, it's like taking the beautiful threads of gold and burgundy and what have you. By themselves, they are gorgeous. You weave them together in a tapestry, and they're breathtaking. And this is what Bobby's done with this. She has taken her gift of metaphor and language, along with her attention to detail. And no wonder you won the gold, girlfriend, because it was richly deserved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, would you like to say anything about your poem?
No, I'll just say it was really fun to write it, and I appreciate all your comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
It
was a joy to hear you read. That was just fabulous.
Yeah,
okay, Weaver, we are ready for the next one.
Okay, my dear, we have
added up.
Yes, Outside October by Naomi Sarah. I think she's on the board. I hope she is. Allison, would you like to read this?
Oh, Allison dropped.
Oh, well, in that
I'll
case,
take it.
Well, yes, please do. Thank you. Go for it.
Oh, me, pick me. Okay. by the way, the image on there is really striking. I got to find out who the artist is on that. We have Outside October by Naomi Sarah. Another sleepless night as quivering strings on an untuned violin screech inside my head, playing my life back in a mismatch of worn-out socks. From under cold, sweat-soaked sheets, I gaze into fuming fog, silent and monstrous. It smells of death swallowing me. My body is a country at war. The captain has hoisted the white flag. The enemy chews me into tiny, sick morsels and spits me out laughing. My bones ache and sigh, gnarled and brittle and my skin has soured into a poisoned yellow. Clumps of hair cling to my moist hands that swept from my cheeks the thousand pearled drops I have spilled. Staring speechless into doctor's eyes, flinging another book, a vase, a cup, smashing against a wall, vomiting bile that scorches my throat. I bite my fingernails until I bleed. Shivering as icicles pierce my flesh, exploding into millions of frozen splinters while coughing up blood-orange sawdust from stars fallen out of an asphalt sky. The phone screams. I grab it, wanting to tell my family, my friends, I'm okay. I'll be just fine, but it tumbles into my lap. I'm too weak, too tired to lie. Swirling chatter, a news broadcast chases the oxygen from the room. Smothered and dizzy, I curl into myself. Outside October, the world continues to turn. It's not supposed to turn without me. In those dark, dark hours, I hammer on to grasp soft specks of inner light to hug and hold on to, but they leap beyond my fingertips as thunderous rumbles of what was, is, and might have been echoed throughout my brain, and I hang more shredded pieces scattered along a sinking clothesline. The train is pulling into my final station, but its whistle blows off key. End poem.
Oh my goodness, Bobby. You read that so wonderfully. And Naomi, this is just so deeply painful. I don't know if anybody, you know, we all suffer from so many different things. One of my friends, she drank herself to death. She had bipolar and she just could not find a place where she had peace. And, you know, chemical, when you have a chemical imbalance, whether it's in our mind or our body's off whack, and you suffer this long-term type of illness and sadness, you know, some of us may have horrific dreams from our past, which I have had, you know, where it just literally paralyzes me in the bed. And, you know, somebody calls and, you know, they ask how you're doing, you know, because I do believe, you know, like the other day, Weaver wrote me a note because she sensed my electricity was off and she was checking up on me, and I really appreciate it. You know, you want to tell people, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. But there's something that betrays your voice that lets them know that you're not fine. And I thought that she's so carefully pinned how those soft speckles of inner light, you know, to hug and hold on to, you know, that we try to hold on and, you know, sometimes we can't. And I just, you know, this was deeply painful. It was a beautiful, beautifully expressed poem, Naomi. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
I thought it was beautiful. They said this poem resonates powerfully with the reader, carrying us aloft into the deepest fathoms of pain. You know, when you're hurting this bad, that's a sad thing. It's very tragic. But I think we all can relate to compassion or anything. When the world's going on without you in it, you know, that's a wake-up call.
Thank you, Gray. And Katie, what did you think?
Such a sad, sad story. Oh, we know it comes to all of us, no matter which way it comes to all of us. But we would hope that it would be more peaceful. You know, it shouldn't have to be. It's awful that people have to suffer, especially if you're aware that this is where things are heading. You know, that must be the worst blow of all, to know you've got no control and the inevitable is going to happen. And I just think it's terrible, terrible, terrible. And I thank you very much for sharing this because, again, you know, nothing. Life can't just be giggles and laughs. Life has altered to be reality, and we have to be able to face the reality and accept that although we can't do anything, we can care and we can love and we can support. So I thank you for this, Naomi. It was lovely.
Yeah, Dad, I got made me tears well up in my eyes. What did you think about her poem, Pam?
This was brilliant. It was powerful and emotive. I like how it takes us into the sad, visceral imagery and emotion of somebody suffering physically and emotionally from being sick and what it's like to be in that mindset and to be in that body. So excellent writing, very well done.
Agreed. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think of Naomi's poem?
Oh, reading this aloud at the end of it, I found myself absolutely breathless. Real, visceral, unabashedly raw and painful. It evokes the powerfully overwhelming nature of both physical and emotional of that kind of experience. The emotional pain being the more difficult to bear of the two because there's no physical manifestation. There's no blood, no severed limbs, no bruising, no physical trauma to be absorbed. It's all internal, and when you're going through it,
yep.
you swear when you sit down in a chair, when you arise from the chair, there ought to be a pool of blood there from the pain that you're experiencing. But there is none of that. But she expresses it with such candor and eloquence and tenderness that you find yourself deeply empathetic with what is going on, regardless of what it is. You recognize the pain, and you cannot help but sympathize with the person suffering.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you so much. We only have 2 minutes left. I do not want to rush any. Yeah, I don't. I can't believe how fast this is. I don't want to rush any poems. I want to thank my new co-host, Weaver and Frank, for joining me. I want to thank everybody who hung out in the group. I want to thank everybody who called in and participated. Gray, Katie, Pam, Allison, Bobby. We couldn't do this without you. And I love the poetry, but I love to see what you think, because what you think opens my eyes into different pathways that I might not have seen. And, you know, it is just a fantastic show. We have so much poetry. I will be doing it next Monday. I also will possibly Gray will help me and Phil will help me, but we will get every poem read. I love you guys. Thank you for being the flowers in my garden of enlightenment. I love you very much.
Besitos. Love you right back.
I love you too. I love all of you. Thank you, Weaver. You were awesome tonight.
Always.
And I can't wait until Frank can join us.
Yeah,
good night, everybody.
Good night, my darling. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Love you guys.
Well. Bye.
Bye-bye.